You're listening to Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Follow our Mixcloud account now and never miss an episode. Check us out on Twitter at Between Stripes. Search us on Facebook and Instagram, Between the Stripes. And add us on Snapchat, BTS1924. For more, see our website, betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Thank you for your support.
You're all very welcome to this Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast mega show. It's episode 7 and it's our biggest show yet. We have 6 special guests tonight, starting off with Paul Finnegan and Sam Burton. Of course, they're Longford Town's 2 newest signings. We're going to be joined by journalist Dan Gorman to discuss the latest situation at Bray Wanderers, Dennis O'Connor resigning as chairman there last night. We're going to be joined by Jared Grimes, who's a Drogheda United fan. Sean Thornton leaving the club there last night. Are the Drogs destined for a return to the First Division? Galway United fan Julian Canny will join us to discuss the troubles involving the Tribesmen this season. They also are in massive relegation trouble at the moment. And finally, we'll be joined by Junior Soccer Portal this week, who's going to give us an update on all the latest goings on in the non-leagues. Some big transfer news there involving an ex-League of Ireland player this week, so he's going to be on to talk about that. I'm joined again by John this week, so enjoy the show. Here we go, folks. So, John, you're welcome back after a break last week. Disappointing result in Europe this week for Dundalk. That's where we're going to start first.
Well, Kieran, thanks very much, and it's great to be back. You did a good job by yourself last week. I didn't know whether I'd be invited back, to be honest.
We got there, John, but good to have you back all the same.
Okay, so let's talk about that match last night then. So Rosenberg against Dundalk. Well, it was a case of so near but yet so far, wasn't it?
So close.
Yeah, fingertip save from the goalkeeper in the late part of the second half, basically sent Dundalk out, or else it could have been a very, very different story. They played very well first half. I thought Rosenberg, dominated the second half and would probably just shaded the tie over the two legs, to be honest, Kieran. But, you know, Dundalk can hold their heads up high. They played well and, a little bit unlucky. It's such fine margins, isn't it, in Europe? I mean, if that had gone in, they're through to an absolute money spinning tie against Celtic, but alas, it wasn't to be.
Yeah, and even if they had lost that tie against Celtic, which you probably would have expected, they would have had the safety net of the Europa League and you'd fancy them to go on a run of that, but that's gone now. So for Dundalk now, it's going to be focusing on finishing second, and hopefully next year they might be seeded in the Europa League and go on a run there. But you speak of fingertip saves and defining moments in that tie. For me, it wasn't the save late on from Kilduff. It was the save the keeper made when Dundalk were 1-0 up in the second leg, from McMillan's header from about 6 yards out. It looked destined for the top corner.
Yeah.
An unbelievable save from the goalkeeper. And when I was watching that, I thought to myself, that could be the moment we all look back on. And for me, that is the moment we're going to look back on.
Yeah, well, it's funny, isn't it? We look at their Dundalk with their leaked notes on scouting notes on Rosenberg. We saw how they rated the keeper as a good shot stopper, and that happened. Yeah, it was a big save from McMillan, and if it was 2-0, then it would have been a long way back for Rosenberg. But look, it just wasn't to be. And you know, my concern now is that with two clubs in the Europa League that are down from the first leg, it could be Europe could be all over by the end of this week.
Yeah, but the time this show is broadcast, we'll know the results from tonight's games. But at the moment, 55 minutes played, Shamrock Rovers 2-0 down, they're out. Cork City have just kicked off and they're currently 0-0, but trail 1-0 from the first leg. And with the conditions in Cyprus, it's a really tough ask. You're nearly asking for a Shawnee Maguire masterclass at this stage in his final game, of course.
Look, it's his last game, Kieran, and you know, let's hope he does exactly that, because you know, they've still a chance. They're only one down, Kieran, from the first leg, and you know, if it's an open game and there's a few goals in it, you know, that one away goal can be wiped out very quickly, as we saw last night. So you know, let's keep our fingers crossed that it just looks like Cork's our last hope, really. I think Rovers have had it. They're 2-0 down tonight, and you know, that's at half time, so they need a miracle to get back in it. So it's all down to Cork now.
Yeah, just going back to the Dundalk game, John, I was extremely impressed last night with the performance of McMillan. He's a player that actually, it came out before the tie was during the tie, that McMillan was looked at as a possible signing for Rosenberg last season due to his exploits in Europe. And his hold up play last night was absolutely fantastic. For me, he outperformed Nicholas Bentner over the two legs. So maybe he's going to get some recognition now. Maybe clubs across Europe will start looking at McMillan again. But as well, I thought McElhenney was superb over the two legs. Just couldn't pull a goal out, unfortunately. Massey was superb. Gannon was excellent in the first leg, but caught out for that goal last night. And a lot of criticism as well for Gary Rogers for the first goal last night. So it's the areas at the back again that are popping their head up as areas of concern for Dundalk, and that's probably where Stephen Kenny's going to have to look to address if they're going to go on a run next season like they did last year.
Yeah, I think so. And I was saying to you before we started the podcast tonight, if you just looked over the pitch, it just looked a weaker side than last year, Kieran. And you know, that's the problem when you lose your big names. It's so hard to replace them. And you know, he's got a bit of a job to do, Steve. And next year he won't want to go out of the same situation. He'll want a European run. And I think he needs to strengthen close season, even if he just wants to win the league. Cork are still ahead of them at the moment, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, and it's such a shame to lose a club out of the Champions League at such an early stage. And of course, it damages our coefficient, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, as we said, hopefully, considering Dundalk's run last year, if they're going to be in the Europa League next year, hopefully they can be seeded and get a much kinder draw, because this was the hardest draw they could have got.
Yeah,
I think it's fair to say, had they been one name out later in the hat in that draw, they would have got FH from Iceland, and you would have expected them, the way they performed in the two legs here, to progress.
Well, and yeah, exactly. And I think we forget that was probably the hardest draw they could have got out of that draw in the first place. So, you know, to lose out by one goal, it just reminded me of that Matty Borisov match a couple of years ago where the same thing happened. They lost out by the one goal. So,
well, they bounced back from that, as we all know, with their run last year. So hopefully that's going to be the same case now for the future ahead. But that was the events in Europe this week. But we're going to move on now, and we're going to have our first interview of the night. And it's new Longford Town signing, Paul Finnegan, a former Dundalk man, of course. We're joined now on the line by Longford Town's newest signing. It's Paul Finnegan. Paul, first of all, you're very welcome to the club.
Thank you very much.
So, Paul, I suppose the burning question, why Longford Town?
Well, to be honest, I knew Neil before and I really liked him. And I like the way he's trying to play from the back and his passing philosophy. I'm a ball player centre half, so I really kind of wants to come and play the way I wanted to play, and that's exactly what Neil said before he signed me.
And your background, Paul, you were a member of Dundalk's under-19 team and earned a professional contract under Stephen Kenny in his first season. I suppose that in itself is a testament that he must have seen some potential in you.
Yeah, he did. I did. I learned a lot under Stephen and a lot under the other players there, such as Andy Boyle and Brian Gatton, Richie Towell. Like, I learned a lot. I did really, really try my hardest at Dundalk. It was very good. The experience of winning the league and going away and playing Europa League was a great experience for me.
You moved on then to Bray, Paul. You only played 4 games there. Looking at your record on paper, you don't seem to have a huge amount of League of Ireland experience, but are you hopeful now that you can maybe get a real run with Longford Town in the First Division and I suppose get to know the league a bit better?
That's it, yeah. I suppose my time with Dundalk, most of the time was spent watching the first team, and my time at Bray, a lot of it was spent injured, but I am hoping to get a good run and knock up a few appearances now for Longford.
Of course, Paul, your last club was Cliftonville in Northern Ireland. Obviously, you have a brief League of Ireland career, but it's always an interesting discussion, the standard of the Northern Ireland League. How did you find it in your time there, and how would you compare it to the League of Ireland?
It's very aggressive. It's very, very aggressive up the north. I learned a lot from the Jason McGuinness up there, that it's a lot of stuff that if you go for headers, you have to make sure you're protected, otherwise you will get hurt. And they play a lot of balls to the north. A lot, they go from back to front a lot quicker than we would down here in the League of Ireland. We try and pass it a little bit more. But probably aggression is probably the main thing, the main difference.
Perhaps that's an ideal attribute, I suppose, for First Division football. Obviously, Neil is looking to play a more attractive style of football, but a lot of the teams in the First Division maybe a more direct style. So that might stand to you, do you feel?
It will, because like obviously teams are playing long balls, and as a centre half, I had to get used to getting up and hitting people and getting hit as well. Like, so it did, sending me up to the north, it toughened me up.
And Paul, will you be available for the game against Wexford tomorrow night?
I'm not 100% sure yet, because my international clearance, I don't know whether it's gone through or not. I'm hopeful, I'm very, very hopeful that I can play tomorrow.
Okay, Paul, well, it's John here, so we're delighted to have you on and at the club, so that's good news. But Paul, you said you knew Neil Fenn. Where's the link then with Neil then in the past?
It was only about 6 months ago at the PFEI camp.
Right.
I was doing a bit of training and Neil was there obviously, and I just bonded with him very quickly and got to know him very quickly, and I really liked him. And then obviously when he called me to come down to Longford, of course I said yeah. Like, I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, and I think we've been impressed so far with the way he plays, and certainly that ball playing centre half is a key part of his lineup. You know, he's reluctant to play any kind of long balls. You know, it's passing out from the back. So hopefully he'll really fit in with that, Paul.
Yeah, I do. I think he does want to play it from the back, and I'm very comfortable on the ball and even to step in the midfield. Because I did play defensive midfield up in Cliftonville as well, so yeah. I'm more than comfortable on the ball to pass it and take it back and step in the midfield. And I think that's the way he does want to play, and that's the way he keeps doing it and training.
So you're primarily a centre back, but you can play that holding midfield role as well, then, Paul.
Yeah, I did. I played holding midfield. I also played right back and left back up for Jared Little.
Right. Okay.
Cliftonville.
Right. Excellent. Excellent. So a nice versatile signing then for Neil.
Yeah. I'll play it. I'm not going to say no, I'll play anywhere he wants me to, but I would. I am primarily a centre-half, and that's where I would like to play. But I'm never going to be the type that will say no, I'm not going to play in that position.
Final question, Paul. Longford's two centre-halves at the moment, Noel Haverty and Daniel Riley, have been gaining rave reviews in recent weeks for their performances. Do you feel that you might have a tough time getting into the team, or is that really driving you on to come and show what you can do now to the Longford fans?
It will be tough to get into the team, but I think I'm more than capable to get into the team and prove myself. Because obviously I didn't get a lot of game time at Dundalk or at Bray. And I really want to prove myself and show that I can play and I am a good centre-half. And obviously the two lads have done very well and it will be very tough to get in. I might have to sit and bide my time until an injury or lack of form. But the way things are going, I don't think a lack of form is going to happen. The two lads are playing very well.
Yeah, they are doing well, Paul. And just on a personal note, I just wanted to ask, how long's the deal that you currently have? Is it just to the end of the season then, Paul?
Just till the end of the season, yeah.
Okay.
Just till the end of the season.
Okay, well, hopefully we'll wish you a long and successful career with Longford Town.
Hopefully, yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, Paul, we just want to thank you for coming on tonight. It's great to speak to new signings all the time, and hopefully we might see you down in Wexford tomorrow night.
Hopefully, yeah. Well, I'll be there in any case to support the team.
Thanks very much, Paul. We'll speak to you again.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Kieran. Thanks, John. See you later, boys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So great to hear from a new Longford Town signing there, John, and exciting times ahead. And we're going to go straight into the next interview now. It's St. Patrick's Athletic midfielder. Well, he's now a Longford Town midfielder, Sam Burden. So I'm joined on the line now by Longford Town's newest signing. It's former St. Pat's man, Sam Burden. Sam, first of all, welcome to the club and thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers, thanks very much, lads. Thank you.
So, Sam, the first question we need to ask you, because we've been doing a little bit of research about yourself online today, and my impression always was that you were a central midfielder, but some websites have you listed as a striker, so do you want to clear that up for us?
Well, I'm more than actually probably a midfielder, but at the 9 games I've had, so I kind of played a bit everywhere, like played up front for a while and done quite well there, so I'd say that's probably where that's come from, but now I'd rather centre mid, to be honest.
And you've arrived after a long spell at St. Pat's. That must have been a great education for yourself as a young player.
Yeah, I was there for probably since I was 16. Like, I was at Pat's, and so I've been there a long time. And but yeah, just at this stage of my career, I think I just need to get out and play games and further myself.
Yeah, you played under a great, a great manager who believes in attacking and passing football, and Liam Buckley, and you're arriving now under Neil Fenn, who believes in the same style. Do you think that'll act in your favour now?
Yeah, well, that's a main reason why I've come, because Neil, like, speaking to the lads, since Neil has come in, he's changed things completely around, and the ball's on the deck, and hopefully that'll suit me. And no, it's great when the manager puts faith in the players to be able to put the ball down and start attacks from the back. And like last week, the goal conceded was by trying to play out, but Neil's philosophy is, if that happens, that happens, but he wants us to do it the right way, and I'm sure it'll be like that for the rest of the season. And it's total football all the time, whether you can see goals from it, so be it. But no, it's great to have that belief from a manager and the players to go out and play football.
And Sam, is there any former link with Neil Fenn? Have you worked or come across him before?
No, I haven't. My little brother's done summer camp with him there a couple of years ago, but that's it. Like, I've never spoke to him. I've never worked. I know he done the PFAI camp at the start of the season, but I've never worked with him. No.
Okay, Sam, it's John here. So you've not worked with Neil, but how did the move come about then? Because we heard you'd been released by Pats by mutual consent, and then a couple of days later we signed him for Longford Town.
Yeah, it's just I got released by Pats on the Saturday, and then Neil had just texted me on the Sunday then saying that he'd seen that I was released by Pats and would it be interested in the chat. And then he rang me on the Monday saying he was keen to get me down, and then I went training that day and I really enjoyed it. And then from there, it was just, we got the deal done pretty quickly. Like, so I was delighted.
That's great. And how frustrating has it been not being part of, being at Pats but not playing this season much?
Yeah, it's frustrating. Like, it's, you ask any footballer that, like, playing 2 and 3 games and out for a while and then back in for a couple, like, it's not ideal. And I think, for me anyway, it was, I need to be playing games consistently in a row, like, and which I've never done in senior football. Like, I've never played 10 games in a row in senior football, which I think I need to get to progress, like, and to further my own career. Like, so hopefully at Longford, obviously there's very good players there, so it's not a case of me coming in and starting every game. Like, I know that I have to fight for my place, but hopefully I'll start to play more games than I have in the last 3 years anyway.
So that's your hopes, basically, to get established in the rest of the season and get yourself a first team spot then?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, that's the plan anyway. And hopefully, like, I know the lads have been playing very well. I was at the game obviously on Saturday, and then I was at the game against UCD, and I thought they were excellent. So I know it's not going to be easy, but it's a chance I'm looking forward to anyway.
And finally, Sam, will you be available for the game against Wexford tomorrow night?
Yeah, no, I am. Signed on Saturday, and I think everything's gone through and stuff, so yeah, I should be. I'm 100% fit anyway, and just once everything's done, I'm sure I will be, yeah.
Well, that's great to hear, Sam, and we just want to thank you for coming on the show. It's always great to hear from new signings, and we want to wish you the very best of luck for the season ahead.
Cheers, lads. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Sam. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Sam.
Are you involved in a local, national, or international business? If so, Between the Stripes may be the perfect advertising partner for your company. We are currently offering low-cost, high-return sponsorship packages to cater for businesses small and large. For more information, email us on betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
So that was a special treat for all the Longford Town fans listening in. Great to hear from the new signings, and hopefully both will be available to play against Wexford, and we'll speak about that game a little later on. But moving on now, John, we're going to have Dan Gorman on shortly to discuss the latest going on at Bray, but we'll take a look at Bray's recent match against Cork City first. What did you make of the 2-0 win for Cork, John?
Yeah, well, I think we'll start with about the game itself, because there's been a lot happened since that, but I thought it was a pretty straightforward win, wasn't it, for Cork? Maguire's last League of Ireland match, and he's going to be a big loss, isn't he? And you know, Cockwell misses aerial presence as well for not a big lad. He's excellent in the air, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you've seen the tweet during the week, John, but somebody put up an 8-second video of that goal. It was basically Maguire playing a 40-yard crossfield ball, running all the way up from that, and then getting on the end of the header. It was an absolutely amazing move. It shows it doesn't just show his skill, but it shows his physical presence and his pure fitness. A brilliant goal.
Who's going to take his place then, Kieran?
Jeez, it's very hard to know, John. They've brought in Kieran Sadler, who hasn't appeared an awful lot. He's come off the bench in some of the games. But he's, as we've discussed before on the show, he's not a natural centre-forward. So with the transfer window still open, I think Caulfield will be looking to get in a natural striker. But with the league wrapped up, if they go out of Europe tonight, they might just sit on that, maybe throw Sadler up there, see how he gets on.
I think they might use your man Nakheel Campion. You know, he's been on the bench. He was
a big presence. He didn't really come on in the first leg, I thought, the other night. He was a target man, which Maguire wouldn't be naturally.
Yeah,
he is.
I know about him because he was on trial at Yeovil a few seasons ago, strangely enough. Not that I mentioned that. But he would be a decent striker. And he played a season there for Port Vale in England. And then he came over to Sligo, and now he's at Cork. And yeah, for an aerial presence, I think he would be pretty decent.
The only downside to that, I'd say, John, is Caulfield seems to be trying to move away from a more direct style of play. That's where Cork have been criticised in recent years, that they're too direct, whereas this year they're trying to play a more passing style of football, similar to what Dundalk have done the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And bringing in a player like that, who's naturally a big target man, you're going to be more inclined to go long. So it might be just going against the philosophy he's trying to install there. But as we said, the league title is basically wrapped up. So
yeah,
they could look to change that ahead of next season, I suppose.
Yeah, I think Bray was pretty average there, weren't they, in that match?
But what about all the headlines since then, John? It's just, it continues to go on and on. Last night it's come out, Dennis Connor has resigned. We see today a statement from Bray Wanderers where they say Jerry Mulvey, the investor in the club who had apparently pulled away from the club, is now the acting chairman in place of O'Connor. So we're going to have to get down on here to try and get our heads around this.
I think it's
crazy.
The story changes, you know, daily almost at the moment. So, let's get down on and see what the latest is.
So we're joined now by journalist and reporter Dan Gorman, who's keeping everybody up to date across social media, doing excellent reporting on the Bray Wanderers situation. Dan, welcome to the show again. We had you on a couple of weeks ago, but I don't think anyone could have foreseen the events that unfolded last night with Dennis O'Connor resigning as chairman.
No, you're probably correct. Dennis has alluded to it like many times that he doesn't exactly, not that he doesn't enjoy it, but that it certainly wasn't a labour of love for him, that he was doing the job, but if someone wanted to take over, he'd happily hand over the reins. And I think just accumulate in the last few weeks and the players coming out, like in the spoilers, and as I said, social media is rampant the last few weeks with it. And he's got, on Soccer Republic on Monday, there was a few fans voicing their concerns and their criticisms. And I think it's just all kind of, just all led to his decision, as well as obviously the ongoing issues you're all aware of. But it's led to his resignation. He's been there a few years. He had made plenty of enemies. I'm sure he made a few fans as well. But with myself, he was always top drawer. He couldn't have asked for a more professional relationship with him. And without him, there mightn't be a club. People would argue maybe the club's better going and starting a game without him. I'm not sure there's too much logic attached to that approach. But without him, there wouldn't be a club. So even if the club at the moment is sort of in dire straits, like, I'd rather have a club that needs a bit of handiwork than no club at all.
Yeah, I suppose it's easy to understand maybe someone stepping away from the club with the amount of hate they've received. But maybe the biggest surprise to come out of this is the fact that a statement has come out just before we've started recording the show from Bray Wanderers to say that Jerry Mulvey is now the acting chairman. This is the man who allegedly was the investor that pulled away and took a step back from the club. Where has that come from, Dan?
Yeah, so yeah, it was Jerry. Jerry was the main investor. Jerry had signed an agreement to fund the club to the end of the season. Then that withdrew, agreement was withdrawn on. So that's what sparked all this. Jerry came to Dennis last Friday and told him, that was the morning of the Dundalk game, that he was thinking of pulling out. He had told him also, I can't remember, I think it was April, May and June, he also came to Dennis and said, look, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Each one, Dennis persuaded him to stay on. On the Friday, the Cork, or the Dundalk game, sorry, he came to him and said it again. That's what led to Dennis releasing a statement, and on the Sunday, he confirmed that he was gone. So that's what obviously led to all this mess the last few weeks. I got in touch with Jerry that day on the Sunday to ask him would he comment. He replied to say not at the time being, or something on his lines to say he would, but not at the time. Now I haven't actually approached him since, so obviously now at the weekend I more likely will sit down with him for a chat, see what his take on that is, what his plan going forward. But it was an interesting time, you know, whether it's deliberate or not, to release it as a dark kicked off, it kind of got buried a lot. So whether that was deliberate or not for the club, it could genuinely be a complete coincidence, but it also kind of snuck in on the radar a lot as well in that sense, because obviously Dundalk got preeminence last night. So it is, look, it's I don't know, it was just when it looked like they were kind of stabilising things. I know there was still issues the players wanting clarity and wanting actual physical proof, etc. But just when it looked like Dennis had got the investors and turned it around, then that's it, he's gone. Like that, I got a text saying there was big news coming. Now I feared worse than what it was, I feared, because they've been talking this week about how unless all 21 players went out, no one's leaving. So for a few minutes I was fearing maybe all 21 got together and said enough is enough. Thankfully that wasn't the case. But it's just accumulation. The players this week requesting contracts to be cancelled and things. After all, Dennis put in, like, he's working savage Trojan after that a few weeks. So it's obviously just everything get on top of him, and he's got grandchildren and things. He's enough to deal with. Obviously, yes, the start about the camel's back. And now it's with Jerry trying to get in steer the ship. I'm sure he's not exactly overjoyed with the prospect he's facing at the moment.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, Dennis O'Connor wasn't the most loved individual around Bray. Do you feel now that he's stepped away from the club, there might be maybe a few lapsed supporters coming back to the Carlisle grounds?
Depends where they go now. If Jerry comes in and nothing changes, then they'll just say it's same thing, just different leader. So it depends completely. Like, that's what I was saying, I'll speak to Jerry now this weekend. Hopefully he'll have some kind of plan for me or some. Anyway, he said interim, so chances are he's kind of just say I'm only here for a while. I know Dennis's brother, Martin, is the club secretary. He plans to remain on, as far as I'm aware. No one else is planning to leave. So in that sense, like, I know Dennis obviously had a massive role in the club, but he's the only one leaving. So if they get Gerry in, or whoever comes in down the line further, and they can do a similar job or better job, whatever the case may be, like, it could, by all means. Yeah, people, it's like you seen it on Monday, it was O'Connor's out, we said, if Martin's staying on, maybe that's enough to keep the fans alienated. Maybe they'll say, well, one is gone, we'll give the new look a chance. I genuinely don't know. I think it's just a few months left of the season. And all they want to do is get the players paid. I imagine at the end of the season, the players that aren't up on 2-year deals and on 1-year deals, I'd imagine there'd be quite a big number of them leaving. There are players obviously looking to leave already. They're saying that there's no transfer requests, but I think you and I both know that there's no point in players requesting transfers, because what club out there is going to stump up money to pay for the sake of a few months when they wait a few months, get them a free? So the only option is the mutual cancellation of the contracts. And I was told, unless all 21 say they want that, it's not going to happen. So either the club completely goes, or the club remains as it is. There's no in between. There's no black or white like that.
This must be incredibly distracting, though, for the players, Dan. Did you get a sense of that perhaps during the defeat to Cork at the weekend? Did you see anything on the pitch that might suggest that minds are elsewhere?
To be completely honest, I was actually pleasantly surprised. I thought going into it would be like that. And I thought it'd be like an end of season summer holidays plan kind of look to it, where they were just going through the motions. But like, they were out on four, and the day they were just outclassed by a better team, but not through lack of effort. Like, if that was a draw or someone else that was there, I'm sure they would have steamrolled them, because they were playing for the ball, they were playing with their hearts. I spoke to Aaron Green afterwards, and he's obviously probably the most sought after of all the players, and he was adamant that he wants it all sorted out. He just wants to be able to play football, not have to worry about this. He doesn't want to leave. Even if he wanted to leave, he said, sure, I can't leave, I have a contract. I don't know how people seem to get confused that they can just walk away from contracts. They obviously can't. They're legally binding contracts for a reason. It stops up my day. So the players were surprised by unity. Now, I'm sure, even I'm not saying anything, Aaron Green, I'm sure with a few of them, they'd say one thing to you, but mean the other. But from what I saw, body language, etc., too, I didn't see any issues. But then again, there was four or five players looking to cancel the contract since then. So obviously not all is rosy in the garden at the same time.
Dan, just going back to the issue around the chairman, isn't it a case of out with the old boss and in with the old boss, really? It's more of the same. It's the money man that pulled the money, but he's now back in charge. And is there a danger that at the end of the season that the money could be gone and we might not be left without a club?
Yeah, it's definitely fair. Like, as you said, it's the same regime, basically. So you'd imagine the same agenda. You can't imagine. And again, Gerry's only in interim, so we don't know how long that could be. It could be a few weeks, could be months. Can't imagine he's going to be things up and doing anything different. Like, Dennis has got Dennis has said he got the investors in for the remainder of the year and the beginning of 2018. Maybe him leaving, could that maybe the investors say, hold on a second, I believe this man, now he's gone, now they're in the media again, more bad news, do I really want to pay and put money into this? It is a bit tricky. You can understand fans' situation, just a different man sitting there, Harry, who was involved in this whole time, who was essentially the man who caused this mess by withdrawing funding. So you can understand with people, but they remain the same attitude that they don't want to know with the club. But it is very worrying. Yeah, of course it's worrying. Like, the players are looking to leave this week, and it comes into the year, they're really, it's a worrying thought between now and the end of the year. Like, every week, every day, you're worried what you're going to get, a text or an email. And come the end of the year, it's a long way between now and then. And then by next year, to start the next season, you're really just, there's no way of guessing. I wouldn't want to be guessing what situation the club will be in if, as you said, they're really close, because if the investor pulls out, if you get sick of the circus that's going on at the moment, which many would, then there's no alternative. The players are gone, the club is gone.
And Dan, just to clarify, when Dennis said he got new investors to see the season out, was that basically the old investors?
No, I'm led to believe it's people who have had previous interest in the club, I suppose I could say. Then the reason obviously the players aren't happy is because they want it formally identified and they want solid proof of this, which hasn't been provided as of yet. I know the players are able to date, but they're still awaiting some kind of proof. Now, they had, as it's well documented, they'd set a deadline of last Monday. So what's that now? It's 9 days ago, 10 days ago. That never happened. If they came to the match, they played the match. It's still, the payments are still on date. There's nothing wrong there, but there's been no proof yet. But yet the players are still training as planned, everything else. So in that sense, there's no issue. It can't be easy to play like this. It just happened that they had the two toughest games you're going to get on top of all this, which didn't help. Like, if you've been playing at home to a strong draw, something like that at Finn Harps, and they whatever beat them, it maybe might have appeased a bit the players, but even get the results. But the fact that they had been outclassed by the Dock and Cork and all, it certainly wouldn't have helped. Because then, as you said, the talk, you know, they distracted Ali up for it. But I saw no difference in the players on Sunday, sorry, against Cork. I just saw a very, very, very good Cork side and beating a good Bray side.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the lack of transparency that's obviously a problem. And look, we just have to hope that it gets sorted out before the end of the season and the Bray continue to be a League of Ireland club ongoing.
Exactly, yeah.
Dan, we want to thank you again for joining us on the show. Hopefully this circus is going to end soon and we won't have to get you on, but if events do continue to unfold, we'd love to have you on again, because you're reporting at the moment. You're really keeping everyone up to date on social media, and it's excellent work. So keep that up, and thanks very much again.
No problem, lads. Thank you.
Cheers, Dan.
Cheers, Dan.
So, John, there was two massive results in the Premier Division on Friday night. We're going to start with the big headline one, and that was a 2-1 win for St. Pat's at home to Derry City. That moves Pat's to within 1 point of Sligo, who are in the position just above the relegation zone.
Yeah, the reason their relegation worries slightly, but yeah, and it was a deserved one, Kieran. Derry got an early goal, but you know, the ref made, there was an error really on. He should have given a penalty to Pats. It looked pretty blatant to me.
Yeah, Pats aren't having the rub of the green at the moment with penalty decisions. It seems we had the Cork incident a couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
which was a blatant dive, and then they had that one. So,
but it was funny. 2 minutes later, the ref gave a penalty to them.
Yeah, I think he realised his mistake and caved under the pressure, which is poor refereeing in any sense. You know, Kenny Shields came out and slammed the referee after, and probably rightful to do so. I know people like yourself are saying that Pats should have had a penalty before that, but two wrongs don't make a right, and it's poor refereeing in any sense.
Yeah, now, I criticised Pats a few weeks ago just for not even looking like a team. And since that, they've really started to pull together, put a few performances, and they're looking lively up front again.
Yeah, a player that's really stepped it up in the last couple of weeks, John, in this relegation battle has been Curtis Byrne.
Yeah, he's starting to look really good again, hasn't he? Yeah.
But Derry, they're losing games that they seem to be in control of. Like, for long spells of that game, they looked like they were going to get a result, and then it all fell away in the last couple of minutes. Is that a trait of this Derry team that Kenny Shields is going to have to kick out next season?
Well, I think you could be right, and I think we saw the problems that Derry have in their matches in Europe. You know, they were battered, weren't they? Mm. They were annihilated, and defensive frailties again to the fore. And until they can tighten up at the back and you know, start keeping some clean sheets again, it looks like they're going to miss out on a European spot for next season.
Yeah, moving on, John, a huge, huge, huge win for Finn Harps at home to Bohemians, a 2-1 victory. And I don't know if you've seen it, John, but an absolutely masterclass assist from Paddy McCourt to win the game there for Finn Harps.
Absolutely. And two things that have proven me wrong. Firstly, I had Harps to go down, and look, they're pulling some results out. And a couple of weeks ago, we were very critical of Eddie Desan, and he can't stop scoring now.
Yeah, Harps now 4 points clear of the relegation zone. They currently sit 3 points ahead of Sligo, who are positioned below them. It's a magnificent job Ollie Horgan's doing at the moment.
Do you know what? He has done a great job, hasn't he? And, you know, for me, he's my manager of the year. If he keeps Harps up this season, he should be the manager of the year.
Yeah, I was just going to throw that question out to you, John. Yeah. If he keeps Harps up, despite what John Caulfield is doing at Cork this season, would you have Ollie Horgan as manager of the season?
I think so. I think it's very difficult to take it away from Cork, isn't it? I mean, they've dropped 2 points all season, but what a fantastic result it'd be for Harps if they could stay up. And, you know, the way they're playing, who knows? It's certainly possible. But if they do stay up, it means one of these big boys, Sligo or Pats, they're going to go down.
Yeah, we talked about Harps a lot on the show this season. I think the thing we pinpointed was the fact that they don't really have a top goal scorer. They had O'Connor on loan there, but he's gone to Bohemians now. Yeah. But as you said, the sand is starting to step up now. So if he can go on a run, he's a pacey striker. And as we said, with Paddy McCourt able just to tread them little balls through, It's a good combination for Harps, and if we know Harps are solid at the back, if they can keep that up and start turning them in at the other end, there's no reason why Harps won't stay up this season.
Yeah, well, Desan has the potential, doesn't he? We just didn't see the goals at Longford, so you know, could he be an astute signing? And now he's got a chance to really prove himself. Now Connor's not there, so you know, we'll see how they get on. You know, but like I say, if they can stay up, it'd be a huge accomplishment for Harps and Ollie Horgan.
Yeah, we had Nigel Hegarty on a couple of weeks ago, and he said that if Harps were to stay up this season, it'd be bigger than any cup win, any, you know, minimum run they've had in any competition, that this would be the biggest success in the history of Finn Harps, considering 3 are going down this season.
Yeah, just a little word of warning on that. They're not quite out of danger at all. You know, it's still very tight down there, but if they keep pulling victories out like this, then you know, they can get out of it quite quickly, but it's still pretty tight down there, Kieran.
Yeah, and it's the derby against Derry City up next. We'll talk about the upcoming fixtures at the weekend next, but yeah. Moving on to the results, of course, Limerick and Shamrock Rovers game was postponed because of Rovers' European run. Sligo Rovers 1, Drogheda 1. I described that on the show last week as the loser will go down. I said a draw would probably be no good for either side. That's how it turned out. What do you make of that result, John?
It's not much help for either side, is it? I think Drogheda will be the happier team, but you know, so as far as the game was concerned, an absolute thunderbolt from Sean Russell, wasn't it?
Yeah, the new signing Sean Russell, former Longford Town man, he didn't show a lot during his time here, and I know he wasn't a popular figure among Limerick fans, but wow, he's endeared himself to the Drogheda fans straight away with that strike.
Not half, and a classy equaliser from Reece McCabe.
Yeah, I've highlighted Reece on the show here since he signed. He has great pedigree. Haven't played in Scotland before, and as I said, I think Jared Little needs to make more signings of that ilk if Sligo are going to have any chance of staying up, because that squad just really doesn't look to be good enough to stay up at the moment.
No.
And we spoke to a Sligo fan on the show last week who said his heart obviously says that he feels they'll stay up, but his head at the moment, everything's telling him they're going to go down. It's not looking good for Sligo. They're just 1 point above St. Pat's, who occupy the final relegation place. But moving on to Drogheda, John, we're going to get Gerard Grimes on in a second to discuss their troubles. Sean Thornton retiring mid-season there last night, which is a massive blow. We've seen the likes of Killian Brennan and Gareth McCaffrey already this season depart there after fallout with management. Just looking at the stats today, a goal difference of minus 28. Considering the next worst record to that is minus 15 of Sligo, how are they going to get out of this mess?
Well, they can't buy a win neither at the moment, can they? They're going match after match after match, and the problem is the matches are running out for Drogheda, you know, and they're going to end up stranded down there if they're not careful. Something needs to change and quick, but I don't know. I just think they're a beaten team, Kieran. I think I can't see them getting out of this.
Yeah, the whole atmosphere around the club at the moment just looks to be toxic, to be honest. Like they look like they've almost accepted their fate at this stage. But we're going to get Jared on now to discuss that and see does he hold out any hope for Drogheda staying up this season. So we're joined on the line now by Drogheda United fan Jared Grimes. Jared writes for a number of League of Ireland websites also, so he's well up to date on the latest going on at Drogheda. Jared, I'm going to start with the big news last night which broke online, and that's Sean Thornton retiring mid-season for Drogheda. How big a blow is that for Drogs?
I would actually say it's the least biggest blow out of four players have left. He hasn't played much at all. I think he's played 16 games, started 10. He was subbed off in 4, so he's not playing. He hasn't been playing. There's 5 or 6 players in midfield alone that are ahead of him. He was always retiring at the end of the season.
Yeah, anyway, but just I suppose the counter argument to that, Jared, it's a squad that's not high on quality at the moment, and certainly not high on experience after the likes of Killian and Brennan have left. We all know Sean Thornton, his legs weren't getting any younger, but I suppose his footballing brain was still there. So will the squad miss that?
I think Jamie Hollywood actually tweeted there last night exactly that. He said that he learned so much from him. So in that sort of sense, if you look at the players we've lost as well, with Killian Brown leaving, Mark Griffin leaving, they are two of the most experienced players there. Like, other than Sean Brennan now, we don't really have any, and it's Stephen Elliott, obviously. I don't think we've anyone over the age of 24.
It's a very young squad for a team that's in the predicament that they are. Minus 28 goal difference, rooted to the bottom of the table. Is there any way out now for Drogheda?
Obviously, we signed Chris Mulhall today. We're not scoring goals at all. Most of our goals came in the first series of games. I think we scored nine of our first 11 games this season. And I think we've scored in 2, maybe 3 games in the second since the first series games ended.
I'll give you a stat there, Jared. They've scored twice in the last 10 games.
Twice?
Yeah.
Obviously, one of them was Sean Russell there last week against Sligo. Yeah.
Well, that's worth about 6, is that, to be honest.
Yeah, without a doubt. Mulhall's come in today. He's good first division player. Like, he scored plenty. I think he was their top scorer last season, along with John O'Flynn, scored 12
Limerick fan Kevin Kiley tweeted in to Between the Stripes earlier on. He's insisted that we refer to Chris Mulhall as God. I think it's fair to say Drogheda needs some type of divine intervention at the moment.
But every time Mulhall has played against us this season and last season, he's been one of the best, if not the best player on the pitch. I think he scored 3 goals in 4 games against us, including this season, his only goal. So if he can play, P-Man said it today, if he can play as well as he was against us for us, then we might have a chance.
You mentioned Pete Matton there, Gerard. He's one of the more experienced managers in the league, and he's gone through it all, really, in his time with Pats and now with Drogheda. He did a brilliant job getting Drogheda up. But in his post-match interviews the last few weeks, just looking at him, he seems very dejected. He almost seems resigned to what's going to happen. Would you agree with that statement?
I'd say that's the feeling around the club in general. From a couple of weeks, I suppose the Limerick game was when it was, because we were on it. If you look at the first, as I was saying, the first set of games, we were playing well. Only Limerick and Derry really destroyed us in the game. We were kind of well in games, unless we got a red card like Dundalk and Cork. But in this second series of games, we've fallen apart completely. I think it's the second series of games. It began with a draw against Galway after we went 2-1 up in the 90th minute. Then we got embarrassed by Pats and Cork. Then somehow we found 3 games without conceding a goal and 3 nil-nil draws on the bounce. And we've gone the last season against Cavendish was our first draw, nil-nil draw in the league in something like 3 years. So that's odd enough for us. After 3 nil-nil draws, we fell apart. We conceded 10 goals in 2 games, Dundalk and Rovers. And then obviously we lost to Limerick and Hearts, which I think the feeling around the club is that even if we beat Galway tomorrow, we're not going to stay up.
Well, that was going to be my next question to you, Gerard. That's an absolutely huge game for both clubs tomorrow night. Galway have the home advantage there. I was going to put it to you that if Drogheda don't win this one, they're gone. So you seem to agree already with that.
Yeah, if we lose to Galway, we're 4 points behind them. We could be 6 behind Sligo here in 9th. Their last 2 games were Limerick and Hearts. We're playing Galway tomorrow. That's Sligo. We're playing Galway tomorrow, and then we've got Pats. That's the 5 teams in the bottom half of the table. And then we have to go and play all the top teams, Cork, Dundalk, Bray, Rovers.
Yeah, just looking at your fixtures here, Gerard, I'd pinpoint 3 of the next 4 as season-defining games. As we mentioned, the Galway game. Then you're at home to St. Pat's. Then it's a home game against Cork City. You wouldn't hold out much hope in that one. But after that, it's an away trip to Bray. And with everything going on at the Carlisle grounds at the moment, maybe that's a game where you could sneak something. So 3 of those 4 look to be real 6-pointers for Drogheda.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. It starts with tomorrow, though. It's one game at a time. They're all cup finals now. But tomorrow, I think if we lose the game tomorrow, I can't see a way back.
And Jared,
they need to get a win from somewhere. We haven't won a game since the 21st of April, I believe it was, against Finn Harps.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
And Gerard, it's John here, and this just sounds all too familiar from Longford's relegation season. They got in an absolute rut where they couldn't buy a win, they weren't scoring goals, and it's so hard to change that mentality. But,
yeah, very much so.
You know, I think you do have a little bit of hope with a couple of signings that you've made. Just you need something like that to try and turn it around. So maybe there is a little bit of hope there.
I would hope so, anyway. I mean, you were saying there about the rut we were in. If you look at the management team, when we got relegated, it was Johnny McDonald who was in charge.
Mm.
He there was calls for him to be sacked throughout the season, but he left on the last day of August in 2015. So we'd 7 games left, and we didn't bring a new man in. Mark Kinsler, who'd been first team coach under Johnny all season, was put in on an interim basis, and then Pete came in when Kinsler's 60 days finished. And the second last game of those was a 3-0 defeat to Longford in United Park. I think Kieran, you were definitely there that night. I mean, we went to the first division then, and we kept Pete, we kept Mark. So it's still we've kept the same same coaching staff who were there the season we got relegated, and our chairman actually said in an interview that the feeling is around the club that we came up a season too early. he gave an interview to Adam FM here, and he said that, and that didn't go down well with fans at all.
No, it sounds like nonsense to me, does that, Jared? There's never a wrong time to get promoted in my eyes. You know, there's more money going up and the likes. Yeah, it's...
And arguably this season will be harder for Drogheda to get promoted because Waterford have such a big budget in the first division that a team like Drogheda, they did it against the odds when they were promoted to the playoffs. They had a smaller budget than some of the teams in that division. So that's nonsense. I'd have to agree with John there.
Well, I would actually say that we probably had the second biggest budget in the league in the first division last season, if you look at it. Like, we've been operating on the first division budget, most likely, in the Premier Division, before we got relegated. So we were used to that kind of budget. We've stayed in the Premier League on that sort of budget. And I'd say, other than Limerick, we probably did have the second biggest budget in that league last year. So it wasn't really a surprise. The fans kind of expected us to go up. So to say it was too early to go up is ridiculous, in my opinion, anyway.
Jared, just finally, come on, give us your prediction. Are you going to stay up?
I'd like to be the eternal optimist and say yes, but I can't see it happening.
Well, Jared, on that note, we're going to leave it there. We're going to wish you the very best of luck ahead of the game against Galway tomorrow night, but our next guest is actually a Galway fan, so we're going to have to be a bit PC on this one and wish you both luck.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks very much, Jared. Speak to you again.
Cheers, Jared.
So, following on from that interview with Jared, John, we're going to jump straight into our next fan interview, and it's Julian Canny, a Galway United fan. Julian, you're very welcome to the Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast.
Yeah, thanks. Glad to be on.
So, Julian, absolutely huge game tomorrow night at Eamon DC Park. Drogheda United come to town. Is it fair to say the loser of that game is going down to the First Division?
I'd say so, and to be honest, I'd say if we don't even win, if a draw isn't good enough for us, and I don't think a draw is good enough for Drogheda, so I'd say even if it's a draw, both teams will get relegated. Like, you'd be imagining Sligo, Pats, and everyone else around, Harps as well, they'll be saying a draw is the perfect result there, that there's nearly 2 points, particularly by us, that would be 2 points dropped by us. So I'd go to say if we don't win tomorrow, I think that's it. It's probably game over, really.
I have to agree, because Drogheda are in complete free fall at the moment, and it's very hard to be positive about their form at the moment. But you did quite well. A victory against Limerick last time out, so you'd probably expect Galway to go ahead and beat Drogheda.
Yeah, like the thing is now, like I know we've been down there all season, but like we're actually not that bad. We have a good spine to the team, like. There are a couple of things going against us. We've only kept, I think, one clean sheet all season. We've actually only taken the league twice in the 22 games. We've only scored the first goal twice all season, which is crazy. Like, but there seems to be a good spirit about the club, about the players and all that. And as you say with Drogheda, like Sean Thornton, I see he's just left now. So like, all these players leaving, everything seems to be going wrong. And, yeah, like if we can't beat them, I don't think there's really much hope. Like,
yeah, it kind of reminds me of Wexford's situation last season when they had the five players leave towards the end of the season to head to New Zealand and relegation followed. You kind of get, I know there was different circumstances there. There was no fallout with the Wexford players. It was just an opportunity that came to them and they took it. But at Drogheda, it just seems, as Jared said, our last guest, there just seems to be a toxic atmosphere around the club at the moment.
Yeah, like they've scored, what is it, 2 goals in their last 10, like one of them was last week's one, like the bolt out of the blue, like, you know, I suppose that's our problem as well, scoring goals.
Yeah, and they've shipped 22 and only scored 5, so the stats aren't good.
Yeah, that's it. Like, our defensive record, even though we've only kept the one clean sheet, our defensive record is actually quite good. I think there's only 2 games all season have conceded more than 2 goals. That was down at Turner's Cross where we lost 4-0. I think at Tala we lost 3-0 as well. And like Shane Keegan would say himself, I think they're the 2 games that we were really outplayed. Like, in every other game we've been competitive. We obviously were the only team to take points off Cork this season. I think there is quite a lot to be positive about from a Galway point of view. And like that, if we win tomorrow, that's two games in a row we'll have won. Like, against Limerick, Limerick had the better of the game at the start, missed a couple of chances, but then we scored again within 2 minutes. And then, okay, they had a bit of pressure in the second half, but it never really looked like we were going to give up that lead. And that's kind of really encouraging, and something like, look, going into the final series of games, that you can say, right, we've got the kind of got something to build on there. We can beat Drogheda. We've got home games against Sligo and Pats coming up relatively soon. So, like, kind of all the teams around us, apart from a trip to Harps, we've got the those games at home. So, like, everything is kind of in our favour. If we're good enough to win, to stay or to win those games, then like we'll stay up. And it's kind of, if we don't, it's our own fault that we go down, really.
I think it's fair to say, Julian, everyone can almost pinpoint the problem. Has it been scoring goals? And myself and John were just looking at the goal scoring charts there. We're absolutely shocked to see that Vinnie Fatterley only has 2 goals this season.
Yeah, it's like I think Ronan Murray probably is 6 now, and he's been a great signing for us. Like, a few of those have been penalties, to be fair, but like, I wouldn't really say it's so much down to Vinny. It's more kind of the supply coming from the wings now. Kevin Devaney was our player of the season last year, and he's kind of underperformed a bit this year. And
you've lost Ryan Connolly, obviously, as well from last year.
Yeah, and obviously Connolly's kind of he's kind of stepped out. Like, I suppose you could argue that. Yeah, Ronan Murray's kind of a replacement for Connolly. But yeah, Connolly, I remember I came up with the stat last season, the middle of last season, that I think he'd been either scored or been involved or created like 80% of all our goals. So it was, last season he was really crucial. Yeah, we've lost him. Murray is probably, he is kind of, I suppose, a similar enough type player. Maybe not as, maybe he wouldn't lay on as many chances for others as he does. Like, I suppose one thing as well now is the formation we've been playing this season under Shane Keegan. We've changed to a 3-5-2, and actually last week we went back to 4 at the back against Limerick, which maybe it's something like the players are a bit unfamiliar with it. So the kind of the wide players then would be the full backs, like it would have been. Mark Ludden on one side, and then Devaney kind of isn't in his usual left wing role. He's kind of more inside, and I think him of all the players has kind of got a bit lost really at where he's gone. So it's maybe the switch now to 4-4-2. If we keep that for tomorrow night, it could be interesting to see how we get on.
And what's the feeling on Shane Keegan among the Galway fans? He was relegated last season, and that's why I thought myself personally it was a strange appointment. The signings he made they don't seem to be setting the world alight either. What's the feeling on that?
You see, it's kind of very mixed, because like, he came in at a pretty tough situation, because obviously, kind of with about 10 games to go last season, Tommy Dunn was let go, and we had pretty much a deal signed for Ian McParland to take over, and everyone was expecting, like, he worked with Roy Keane before, and like, basically everyone in Galway had heard he was getting the job. He went to a couple of games. I think he might have been up in Longford at one of our games. And then, I don't know what happened, that fell through. And then we were just kind of left scrambling. The end of the season was turning into a total disaster. Thankfully, we had enough points to stay up at the time. But if the season had gone on for another 5 games or something, we'd definitely been right down there with Longford and Wexford. But so then, like, when the appointment of Shane Keegan was announced, it was like, okay, so we've got the Wexford manager, whereas before it was we were getting a guy who used to work with Roy Keane. So he kind of came, like, some people are kind of looking down on that, but like, to be honest, I think he's done pretty well. Like, the players he's brought in, like I say, Ronan Murray, like Lee Grace at the back has been phenomenal. Like, I never really noticed him at Wexford last season, but he's been really good for us, and like, I know a few clubs are linked with him, and I go as far to say he'll probably be one of the top central defenders in the league in the coming years. But I suppose it's been a thing with the change in formation. We've, as I say, won clean sheet all season, so there have been a few kind of question marks over him, but I think ultimately it's these 11 games are going to decide whether he's been a success or not. If he keeps us up, then fair enough, we're obviously happy to stick with him for next season and kind of build on that. But yeah, if we go down, I think it's probably been a bit of a disaster, really.
Okay, so let's look at it realistically. With Harps and Pats both winning last week, it's going to take a bit of an effort for Galway to get out of this. So, you know, hands on heart, really. Have Galway enough quality all round to get out of this predicament that they find themselves in?
Yeah, like, to be honest, I'm still pretty positive. I was actually at the Pats game against Derry last week, and like, they fully deserved to win, and the new centre half they brought in, I kind of feel they'll get out of it. They definitely do have enough quality. If Christy Fagan start scoring goals, you're looking at Drogheda, we've kind of mentioned, they look in a complete mess, so I think they're pretty sure to go down. Then Sligo, Sligo are struggling to score goals. Obviously lost Kieran Sadler as well. So you kind of fancy, okay, if we could beat them at home, that's coming up in a few weeks. If we beat them at home, we'll have an advantage. So it's kind of closing the gap on Finn Harps, which is, I think it's 5 points between us and them at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, like, I think if we can get win tomorrow, that's two wins in a row. We're down in Cork then, okay, we're not going to get anything there realistically. But then we're up in Ballybofey the week after that. After tomorrow, then that becomes the next crucial game, because we'll probably need to go up there and win, depending on their next couple of results. I kind of am a bit worried, like, especially whatever about Pats last week, Harps winning at home to Bows, that were really kind of, I was kind of relying on them just to keep slipping up. Obviously, Kieran O'Connor has left and he's gone to Bows, so they've kind of lost one of their strikers. And
yeah, that win has kind of got them a bit of a cushion now, hasn't it? They're 4 points ahead of the relegation zone.
Yeah, that's it. They're 5 ahead of us and 4 ahead of Sligo, yeah. So they've kind of got that bit of a gap now. And I suppose there's always this kind of traditional thing of going up there to Ballybofey, Finn Park. It's not that, like, it's a tough place to go. And I've kind of always been saying the last few years about Terryland that it's a lovely ground. Fans enjoy coming to it. It's a lovely pitch, or generally it's been a lovely pitch, nice dressing rooms and everything. And I think players enjoy coming down to Galway and having a game there as well. And in some ways, it's actually too easy. You'd love to have a place like United Park or Finn Park or something, which players hate going to, and then fans are kind of right on top of them. And the home team, okay, they might be the best technically or anything, but if the opposition don't like playing there, it's kind of, that's nearly like half the battle won as well. Whereas in Galway, it's like teams enjoy coming down, and sometimes like that can kind of work against us, I feel. But yeah, but in terms of the quality on the pitch, I think defensively, like Folan and Lee Grace they're doing really well as a partnership. Connor Wynn, last season I thought he was useless, but to be fair to him, he's actually done pretty well this season. Kept us in some games. And then in midfield, you've got David Cawley as a holding midfielder, and Alex Byrne has actually done really well over the last month or so and kind of established himself in the team. And then you've got Ronan Murray there, create chances or score goals himself. So I think going through the spine of the team, there's plenty there and there's plenty of hope, but where we are kind of maybe relying on going up to Finn Park, winning, Harps hitting a bit of a sticky patch, and like Sligo as well. But like I say, a good few of the games are at home, the winnable games are at home. So if we can kind of get that home form, beat the teams around us, then we should be okay, I think.
Julian, we're going to leave it there. We want to thank you for coming on the show, and best of luck in that big game tomorrow night at M&DC Park. Hopefully there'll be a big home crowd turning out for that one.
Yeah, thanks for that, Kieran, and best of luck with the podcast as well.
Thanks very much, Julian.
Thanks, Julian.
Cheers, guys. Bye.
So, John, I think it's fair to say Julian was a lot more optimistic than our friend from Drogheda. But we're going to move on now to talk about the First Division, and that's the league, of course, those fans are going to want to avoid next season. But the results at the weekend, a 1-1 draw between Athlone and Cabinteely. What did you make of that result, John?
Well, I expected Cabinteely to beat them, but maybe a little bit of a revival under Roddy there.
Yeah, he's made a couple of signings as well during the week, of course. Enda Curran and Stephen Walsh arriving there. They're quite big signings for Athlone, so I think that's a sign of what Roddy is looking to do next year, it's fair to say.
I think they're good signings for Athlone. I think they'll be obviously looking to offload a few players, but they're the kind of signings that, you know, they're typical Roddy signings. You know, he's had Curran there before, hasn't he? And, you know, he can probably get the best out of Curran that maybe we weren't seeing at Longford
Town. I think it's fair to say this is a last chance saloon for Curran. He was such a highly rated prospect in the league for many years. He started out with the Galway club Salt Hill and obviously Galway United, and he was really highly rated. Mm. Longford always had an eye on him and tried to sign him for many years. It never happened until this season. He did brilliant with Athlone in the second half of the season when they won the First Division.
Yeah.
Then he went with Roddy to Derry City, and with Roddy having such a bad time there, Enda was played out of position in a number 10 role, and it just didn't work out for him. Moved back to Galway, had a good season and a half, but then last season was a bit of a flop, and then that's carried on to this season with Longford. So he's really going to have to get it together now this season or next season with Athlone.
Stephen Walsh just lost his place in the team to a very good centre back.
Yeah, I thought Walsh was a good defender, and he's just unfortunate that Longford have such a good pairing at the moment. And obviously with Paul Finnegan coming in now as well, he would have found it even harder to get games. So I think he's just gone for first team football there.
Yeah.
But we'll move on, John. A massive win for Wexford. Longford's next opponents there had a 2-1 win away from home against Shelburne. Two teams teams that are starting to pick up some form.
Yeah, both playing well, both getting decent results, and Wexford going really well at the moment. Yeah, yeah, a real resurgence.
Some nice young players signed there in recent weeks. Dean Kelly, Aaron Dobbs is on loan from Shamrock Rovers, so I think Damien Locke is really looking to put a young blueprint on that team, and you'll have to watch them out for next season if they can keep a hold of them players.
They've nothing to lose this season, have they? So why not build a young team for next season?
Yeah, Longford Town, a 1-0 defeat to Waterford FC at the City Colin Stadium. It was Neil Fenn's first defeat. You were at the game, John.
I was indeed. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm still seeing plenty of positives, Kieran. I'm loving the way they're playing out, but, you know.
Of course, that was the undoing of them.
Well, it was
a
howler from the keeper, I'm afraid. You know, passing it out to Keegan, wasn't it, for Waterford?
Yeah,
and,
debut.
Yeah, exactly. Who had a great debut. He mopped everything up to Keegan, actually.
I wasn't overly impressed with him, John. No. I was reading social media during the weekend. There was a lot of praise for Keegan, but
yeah, no.
Maybe it was just the fact that it was his first game in a while. He did look a little bit slow at times, but he got the winning goal, and if he's going to do that every week.
To be fair, Keegan, he broke a lot of Longford Town attacks up. He just sat in front of the back four and did his job. He mopped everything up. I thought he was really good in his debut. And
I think if Longford had a target man, though, I think that they could have bypassed Keegan very easily. Longford, they're without a striker at the moment. Jay Kelly is trying to play that role up front, but it's not working out for him. Carl Chambers is out on the wing, which I'd like to see him go back to a centre forward role, because he's been very impressive, the young player. But it's a centre forward Longford need if they're going to start picking up results again.
Yeah, I think it was maybe a case of what Neil Fenn could bring in with the two signings he's made, and I'd say he's got his eyes open on the transfer market for a striker there.
David O'Sullivan to come back, yeah, too.
Yeah, well, I think he may be a week or two away yet. You know, I just hope he gets somebody like Don Cowan firing some goals in, because a fit Don Cowan that knows his way to goal can only be an asset.
Yeah, Don is starting to create chances for himself, which is great to see after being out on the wing for so long, and everybody could see that he wasn't a winger. You know, he had great pace, but his crossing wouldn't be the best. And, you know, with that raw pace, he has a little ball in behind. Cowan is away, he's in on goal. So if he can just get that finishing touch now, he could be one of the top strikers in the First Division next season.
Big confidence player, and he needs a goal, Kieran.
Yeah. Moving on, John, a massive win for Cove Ramblers at home to UCD. You'd imagine that knocks UCD out of the title race now.
Yeah, and Cove needed that, didn't they?
Yeah, a bounce back win after some disappointing results in recent weeks, but they're going to have to show some more consistency if they're going to really push Waterford. And we'll move on to this weekend's fixtures, and it's the biggest game of the weekend at the RSC, Waterford United hosting Cove.
It's massive, isn't it? It's a huge 6-pointer.
6 points. 6 points between the sides. Cove, if they can pick up a win, reduce it to 3, they have every chance.
But Kieran, I just think that could be the match that ends the season, to be honest. I think Waterford will win.
It's the season's defining game.
I think I can't see anything apart from Waterford win, and that'll wrap the season up for them.
Yeah, should Cove slip up in that one, UCD will be looking to avenge that defeat last week with a win at home to Athlone, and you'd expect them to get it too.
Well, maybe, but maybe not. You know, Roddy's new signings have come into the team, freshen things up a bit. I think we may see a bit of resurgent Athlone Town in the rest of the season.
I disagree with you there, John. We were at the game together, Longford and UCD, a couple of weeks ago, and while Longford absolutely bossed the first half, UCD were very, very good on the counter-attack in the second half. And I think with Athlone's defence as leaky as it is this season, I know Walsh will obviously come in, but Walsh has a tendency to try and play out from the back, and he can give the ball away. So I think UCD could exploit that, and I'm going to give them the props for a home win in that one.
Yeah, I fancy Athlone to get something out of that.
We'll see how that one turns out. Cavendish and Shelburne in a Dublin derby.
Yeah, I can't really pick too much difference between the two teams there. I'm going to go for a draw with that one.
I'm going to go for Shelburne. They had a heavy defeat to Cavendish earlier in the season, and I think Owen Heary's team has really started to pick up some form in recent weeks. That defeat to Wexford was quite surprising. But I think Shelburne, they're due a win over Cabo, and I think this might be the game they get it in. Finally, John, in the First Division, we're going to talk a little bit more depth on this one. It's Wexford hosting Longford.
Yeah, well, I'd be a bit worried for this one, to be honest, Kieran. We're short of a goal scorer, we're not scoring goals, and we're travelling to a resurgent Wexford. I do fear the worst this weekend.
Yeah, as we mentioned, Damien Locke's been great signings down there in Wexford, and he's made another one during the week in Adam O'Rourke arriving at the club. So Wexford look to be really building something at the moment, and they're on a good little run too. They were unlucky not to be Waterford recently, but of course Longford probably should have got at least a draw out with that game at the weekend, only for that mistake. I'd love to get your thoughts, John, on the goalkeeper situation. It's been a huge debate among Town fans all season. Jack Brady was brought in from Shelburne. He was their player of the year last year, and he hasn't got a look in.
Well, look, there must be something in training that's showing a difference between the two.
Speaking to Jack, he said training's going so well, and he's loving working under Neil Fenn, because everything, it's all passing out from the back for the goalkeepers. And having seen Jack play in the friendlies and in cup games, he seems to be a goalkeeper that can really play out with his feet, whereas Skinner, we've seen him multiple times this season where he's tried to play a longer pass and he's simply booted out for a throw-in. It doesn't seem to be one of the stronger sides to his game, but to the credit of Paul Skinner, after the mistake at the weekend against Waterford, he did make some absolutely fantastic saves, especially from a free kick. So shot stopping wise, perhaps he might be slightly stronger than Brady, but with this new style Fenn is playing, I think I prefer to have the goalkeeper with the better passing ability.
Yeah, well, to be fair, and I don't think any Longford Town has seen anything of Brady, to be fair. But, you know, I'd love to see him given a chance, because I've seen, I think Skinner's too capable, and, you know, he's too prone to individual errors, and yeah, as a goalkeeper, they can look really bad. And we've seen too many of them. His shot stopping, you know, he was excellent, I have to say, but again, Howler let Longford in, yeah, and cost Longford the game there. So, you know, this may be the match that that Neil says, look, we've nothing to lose, you know, why not
I don't think he will make the chase, to be honest. He probably won't want to knock the confidence out of Paul Skinner too much, but of course Paul's an experienced goalkeeper, so.
And Jack's only young as well, so he's time to mature and develop as a player. But incidentally, I've heard he's quite a decent outfield player as well, so that may fit in with the Fenn being able to play
it's
comfortably.
It's a college team, I think, John. He's playing outfield for, and he scored a few goals, apparently, to him, from what I've been told. So yeah, as we've said, I think if Neil Fenn is looking for a goalkeeper that can play out from the back, I think Jack Brady is the man. And with him being such a young, I know you're saying he has time to mature, but a young player is going to want to play, and I really think his time is now to play for Longford Town.
Yeah, well, we've seen that talking to Sam Verdon, haven't we? You know, you don't want to be stuck on the bench week in, week out. You want to get the first team opportunity.
But, the FAI Cup draw is coming up, and I'd imagine they're the games where he might get a run.
To be fair, he may get thrown in before that, Kieran. I think I don't see why he can't be blooded against Wexford this weekend.
So give us a prediction for the game in Ferrycarrig, John.
Well, I just think Longford are struggling to score at the moment. And until they get Davey O'Sullivan back, I can't see that changing. I think it's going to be a... I think Wexford are going to sneak this 1-0.
Yeah, it's a very tight pitch down in Ferrycarrig. I've never gone down to a game there and seen two attacking fullbacks have a good game. The pitch is just too narrow, and the Wexford fullbacks and midfielders often snuff out that threat. With the way Longford play, they love to get the fullbacks up high. Tristan Noel Kaufman's been a little bit suspect in the last few weeks, which is the first time all season he has been, to his credit. He's a young player, and I think maybe he might be finding it slightly difficult with Fenn's new style of play. It's very demanding, trying to get up and down the touchline. So I'm going to go with a draw on this one. I think it's going to be a bit of a dogged game. It always seems to be when we play Wexford, but hopefully we can get the 3 points.
Yeah, fingers crossed, Kieran.
So we're joined now by Johnny from the Junior Soccer Portal.info. Johnny, very welcome to the show. It's the first time we've had you on. So many ex League of Ireland players playing in the non leagues at the moment. What do you put down the big influx of League of Ireland players into those leagues down to?
Well, I think it can be sort of these things. When you see a lot of older lads playing, and you question why aren't they playing League of Ireland, and when you inquire, it's like, basically, a lot of them would say it's not worth the hassle to travel around, you know, travel around Ireland for such a little wage when you can play maybe not the same level of football or the same degree of commitment, but you can get a good game of ball at amateur level. And then I look at, you know, people might question this, but the fact that we cover it in depth now kind of gives it a profile. So, you know, they're still getting sort of some praise for what they're doing. But I think generally, you know, like some players just don't want to, so some players want to play with me, and some cracking players playing Saturday football and well down the leagues. Then there's some lads who just can't travel with family reasons and so on and so forth. I think the younger lads, when it's younger lads, maybe the questions will be a bit different. Maybe maybe they're not in the chance, or maybe some clubs just don't fancy them. But the older lads, some of them should be playing League of Ireland. I'm not bothered, but it's just not worth that extra effort like for them, I think, at this stage. They're lawyers, maybe.
Yeah, and one of the big talking points within Irish football at the moment, of course, is the partnerships that are forming between, junior clubs and League of Ireland clubs.
That's more at the underage level. And I know it's a bit controversial to some degree. It wouldn't be the adult club, although they will benefit in the future, but that's like the under 19s down. So,
Just moving on, Johnny. If you could pick out, I suppose, a handful of the top performing ex League of Ireland players in the Leinster Senior League at the moment, who would you opt for as you cover all the games, of course, for Junior Soccer Portal?
have to say, look, it's hard to pick, and even if they are the top performing former League of Ireland players, doesn't necessarily mean they're the top performing people in the league, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And yeah, I suppose we cover a lot of the AOL, so we and the FEI Junior Cup, and there were some great players in that were former League of Ireland as well, like name a few of them. If you look at the likes of Lee Murphy in goal for Sheriff, we basically call him Yavi Alonso. Like, his passing ability is unbelievable. I think he scored and saved in penalty shootouts about 30 times this season. I think they've only lost one penalty shootout since 2011, and I know he was in and around the club in that period a lot, and saving and scoring winners. And it, just a general top keeper. Then you've your old boy John Lester, who it was just something special for Sheriff. I think even he's left Sheriff now, he's moved to Greystones. I think he's won 25 trophies in 6 years there, and I even think it got to the degree where if I said John Lester to people that know about football, they wouldn't be thinking about the League of Ireland past and the, I don't know, the 15 clubs he played for or whatever it was. You know, they just associate him directly with Sheriff, and he was key to how they play. Like, I know they had a great squad, and you look at all the Murphys there, John O'Rourke, but tactically how they played, he was, you know, key to it over the last few years. He'd drop in to make a back three, and let the fullbacks where they got the width, and then if he was in the final third, his passing ability was unbelievable. I've never seen him lose a header. He probably looks a bit Jan Mobley-ish, but he had recently quite tried to sign Jan Mobley for Barcelona, and how good a footballer he is, and how he looks, you know what I mean. You have Jake Donnelly playing for Crumlin, who's stand out, and I don't know why someone hasn't snapped him up in the League of Ireland. I think there was interest. But he came to Crumlin from Angel Celtic at Christmas and has been unbelievable for them. I think he finished top scorer, and he was only there since Christmas. Craig Walsh, people are now former Shells. He's lining up in the third tier last year. Fourth tier last year, and he's in the third tier of the LSL this year. And I think he's a goal of a season contender. You have David Cassidy for Pat CY. The Rovers then playing for Liffey Wanderers. They went and won the FAI Intermediate. And I suppose if you look around the country, Mikey Drennan then as well. He was in the FAI Cup, Junior Cup final. Green was another standout performer.
Yeah, you have some real star-studded names there, Johnny. Just a final question for you. Junior Soccer Portal, it's a fantastic service for followers of the non-league game in Ireland. How did you come about to decide to set up the website and get covering non-league football? It's quite a big commitment to undertake.
It's a massive commitment, and it's getting bigger.
Johnny, we've gone way over time on the show this week, but thanks very much for coming on and updating us on all the latest ex-League of Ireland players, I suppose, in the non-leagues in Ireland, and keep up the great work with JSP.
Same to yourself, lads.
So, John, we're going to round up the show shortly now, but you have some breaking European news for us.
Yeah, and it's not good, I'm afraid. It's the end of League of Ireland in Europe, I'm afraid, tonight, as Cork have gone down 1-0 in Larnaca, and Shamrock Rovers lost 2-0 earlier tonight. So
the end of Europe in July.
Yeah, indeed. Well, maybe it's something to consider for next week's show as to what's gone wrong in Europe this season, Kieran.
Yeah, I don't think an awful lot has gone wrong, to be honest, John. I think the draws were a bit extremely unlucky for Irish sides. Rovers did brilliantly to get through a round, I have to say, but I think their defensive frailties were showing up over the two legs against the Czech Republic side. Cork City, for me, would be the biggest disappointment, because I felt that side they played from Cyprus were very poor last week in Turners, but Cork didn't seem to lay a glove on them over the 90 minutes, and again tonight that's a disappointing result, but yeah, albeit in tough conditions. And as we've mentioned, Dundalk was just bitterly disappointing. They were so close. They played absolutely fantastically, so they were the top performers in terms of an Irish side, but you know, it's disappointing, and hopefully maybe the draw will be a bit kinder next season for Irish sides.
Yeah, you can't see any Irish sides being seeded though next year, Kieran. You know, I know you were talking about Dundalk in the Europa League maybe, but you know, it's just unfortunate that you know, success breeds success, and the way the tournaments are structured, you know, continued failure, even though we had a couple, got through a couple of victories for the size, won't help in future. So we really need to get to the stage where Irish teams are getting through a couple, two or three rounds.
It all comes back to investment, John. At the end of the day, yeah. and the Irish clubs just aren't receiving that from the FEI. Had Dundalk got through last night, we would have had the absolutely ridiculous situation of a Manchester United friendly taking headline precedence over Dundalk's game against Celtic. Like, that really says it all for me in terms of where the FEI's interest is in the league at the moment. And until that changes, I think Dundalk's run last year and previously Shamrock Rovers' run to the group stage, I think that's going to be a once-off every maybe 5 years or so.
Yeah, well, it's maybe something we can have a chat about next week, Kieran.
Yeah, we're going to round it up there, John. We've gone way over time this week, but we did advertise it as a mega show, so I suppose it's no harm. We want to thank all six guests we had on. It was a massive undertaking to get this show fully produced tonight, but it's been fantastic, and I want to thank John for joining us again this week, and we'll be back again next week. So just finally, if anyone listening to this can give us a like, give us a share, give us a retweet, anything at all to just to spread the message that this is a League of Ireland podcast. It's obviously based in Longford, and we do go into detail on Longford maybe slightly more than some of the other clubs, but it's a show for all League of Ireland fans, and it's really great to get fans like Jared and Julian on to get their views on their clubs, and we're going to continue that going forward. So thanks everyone for the support, and we'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Click the follow button on Mixcloud now and never miss an episode. Want something featured on next week's show or to react to this episode? If so, follow and contact us on Twitter at Between Stripes. Or alternatively, find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, for all the latest news and updates, check out our website, www.betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Thank you for your support.